right, good to see you. How many have teenagers here? Let's see your hand. If you got a teenager, let's see your hand, all right? I got a notice here. It said, teenager for sale. Fully equipped with rolling eyes, deep sighs, and sarcastic comments. Plays video games and takes 200 words a minute. No reasonable offer will be refused. Now, I thought you'd get a laugh out of that. Open your Bibles this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, and begin down in verse number 6. It's good to be with you this morning. It's always good to have a little laugh. I want to speak on something. You know, sometimes we, even Christians, get discouraged. And I want to speak this morning on one of the devil's greatest tools, and that's discouragement. Now, let me tell you a little story. I have an aunt that's 95 years old. She's a retired school teacher. She lives by herself. She has no children. And if somebody doesn't come out and visit her every day, she thinks, you know, nobody cares. And she grumbles and complains about it. Well, my sister kind of looks after her, but my sister's been sick. So my first cousin has been going by. If you know my first cousin, Wayne, you know that he says just what he thinks. And he went in the other morning and said, Aunt Martha, he says, how are you today? Well, I'm not feeling good. And she just grumbled, complained for about 5 minutes. And finally, he said, Aunt Martha, shut up. He said, I have a ministry. I go to the nursing home over here every week. And he said, there's several people I go by and see. And a lot of them are a lot younger than you are. And they're not complaining. So why don't you shut up? So Wednesday I was down there. My sister had surgery. And so I said, I'm going to stop by and see Aunt Martha. And I walked in. I said, Aunt Martha, how are you? I'm doing just fine. Then she told me what Wayne had said. You know, sometimes we just need to be encouraged a little. Now, the old devil wants to discourage us, but the Lord wants to encourage us. And he wants us to be happy Christians. And I know sometimes, you know, I got a sister. We accuse her of having a Jimmy Carter smile. You know, Jimmy Carter would say, my wife just died, and he'd be a big old grin from ear to ear. And that's the way my youngest sister is. But, you know, the Lord wants us to take and be encouraged, you know. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, the writer says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord said, It is that doth go before thee. It is I that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word. Thank you for this time together this morning. And Lord, encourage our hearts. The old devil wants to discourage us. The old devil wants us to throw in the towel and quit. The old devil wants us to give up on our marriage and on our homes and upon our jobs and upon all the things that you have for us. And Lord, I pray that you'll just encourage us today and speak through me and use me and help me to be a blessing to our people. In Christ's name, amen. When you come to this passage of scripture that we have here, we see Moses, he is encouraging the people there not to fear the enemy tribes in the promised land. If you go back and study, Moses had sent the spies into the promised land, and they came back and said, truly, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. But... And then he began to tell about all the giants that were in the lands. and they're so strong, and the city's walls are so high, and all this. But you know, you'll notice that he encourages, if you study the life of Moses, he's always encouraging the children of Israel to go forward and to serve the Lord and live for the Lord. And he said, you go ahead and cross over into the promised land. But you know, he had seen the older generation turn their back on God and go back. And because of this, they had spent 40 years of needless wandering there in the wilderness. And you know, we have many examples of discouragement in the Bible. Another great man of God who was down in the dumps was Elijah. Over in 1 Kings chapter 18, you see there that he had all the prophets of Baal killed and all. So we're going to worship the truth and the living God there. But then when you get to the very next chapter, chapter 19, we see he's there down there and he's under the juniper tree crying. He's discouraged. He had not been afraid of the 450 prophets of Baal. But he was scared of old Jezebel, the queen, because she said that she was going to have him put to death. Had not God given the victory to his people? Did not Elijah know God and know God's power? Elijah is just like a lot of us. You know, we trust God for our salvation, but we can't trust him for our everyday needs. And we get discouraged. And another prophet of God who was discouraged was old Jonah. When you go to chapter 3 of the book of Jonah, you see Jonah there as he was taken and he was preaching the word of God, and there was a great revival there in the city of Nineveh, and people were accepting Christ as their Savior. And then when you get to the very next chapter, chapter 4, we see he's there under the gourd vine pouting and crying the blues. And you know, we can't live on the mountaintop all the time. You know, and I love to live on the mountaintop. I love the mountains, and I love to live on the mountaintop. That's impossible. It's in the valleys that makes us appreciate the mountaintops that much more. And so it is in the Word of God. You say, preacher, do you ever get down in the valleys? I sure do. But I just don't stay down there very long. I've learned to trust the Lord and try to use the valleys as stepping stones, to greater joy in the Lord and look to him more and be encouraged in the Lord. So thinking about discouragement, what do we do when we face danger? What are we to do? Well, all of us need to realize if we are a child of God, we have a refuge. We have a hiding place in Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is our refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. In other words, when the danger comes lurking, we can find refuge and strength and encouragement in the Lord. Just a little child runs to his mother when danger comes. They say, if I can get to mama, I'll be all right. Or get to daddy, I'll be all right. You know, when we get to the Lord and we come into his presence, and walk with him and serve him. We don't have to be afraid. You remember the disciples back there in John chapter 6 where they were on the storm-tossed sea? They were afraid. They were afraid they were going to die. And then they saw Jesus come walking to them on the water. And the Lord says, it is I. Be not afraid. And you know, just as the storms of life come, and they will come to one and all, we can take and look to him. He said, be not afraid. It's I. I'll take care of you. I'll meet those needs that you have. Yes, we can become discouraged when danger crosses our path, but we need that and realize that in Jesus, we do not need to be afraid. Come to him, trust him, live for him, look to him, trust in him in those times of danger. Think about discouragement. What do we do when our strength fails us? You know, when it seems we can't go any further and when we just want to throw in the towel and quit. Now, you don't ever want to do that, do you? I know you don't do that. It's just me, that's like that. No, we all become discouraged. There's times in all of our life, as a pastor, I used to on Monday morning, I wanted to resign. And about Tuesday or Wednesday, I'd start getting in there and say, what am I going to preach on Wednesday night, Sunday? And, and all. You know, we get discouraged, and you do too in your life. There's times like this. And you know, what am I to do? Well, I need to get into the Word of God. I need to get in God's Word and read. I love to read the book of Philippians. That's called the joy book of the Bible. And Paul used the word joy and rejoice many times in those four little chapters there. I love to get in the Psalms and read the Psalms when I'm discouraged, because they encourage me. They lift me up. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now, I don't know about you, but the hardest thing I have to do is wait. I'm impatient. I don't want to wait 5 minutes. I like fast food, you know. You know, you got to cook something and it takes you all day to bake a turkey. You know, I don't like that. I like, you know, to walk in the kitchen and open the refrigerator and it's already there. All I got to do is get it out or in the oven or something. It doesn't happen that way. But, you know, I get impatient and I want results right now. But when our strength fails us many times, God wants us to slow down and wait on Him. He has some lessons for us to learn. He's trying to teach us some things. And you know, that's what God wants to do. Another thing our Lord says to us, to try and encourage us, Psalm 28, verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength, my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart gladly rejoices, greatly rejoices. And with my song will I praise Him." What we need to realize, God is our strength. Paul didn't say, "I can do all things," but he said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can't do it. I don't have the power or the ability or the strength to do those things that I want to do without His help. And that's what we as Christians need to realize. We need to look to Him. And He's that strength. He's that shield. And we are to put our faith and trust in Him. Now, what we need to realize is that God is that strength. Without Him, we can do nothing. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord will give His strength unto His people." You know, the Lord won't give us strength until we need that strength, until we need that help. You know, so when our strength has failed us, let's ask God for it. You know, He delights in giving His children things, and He delights in giving us that strength. I've been to the emergency rooms. I've been to the hospital rooms. I've been to the bedsides at homes, and I've seen God gives that family strength and help and encouragement, even in the times of deep despair. God gives us that when we need it. What do we do when our friends forsake us? Well, there comes times that sometimes our best friends betray us. They forsake us. You know, we just want to say, what's the use of going on living? You know, maybe it's that husband, or maybe that's why that wife has just left you. You say, what am I going to do? What's the use of living anymore? The one that we thought was, going to be our lifetime partner. You know, is there ever a time we need to run to Jesus? That would be a time to run to Him. Oh, the blessed promises of the Word of God. Listen to Hebrews 13:5. "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Joshua 1:5-6 says, "As I was with Moses, I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and be of good courage." In other words, be encouraged. Matthew 28:20 says, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And folks, He's saying, "I'll be with you all the way to the end, if you'll put your faith and trust in me." When we're discouraged because our friends have failed us, run to Jesus. You know, He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. What a friend we have in Him. We have someone that we can look to, and someone we can depend on, and someone we can look up to, and we can feel, be encouraged. You say, "Preacher, but I'm shy." Well, do it anyway. You know, be friendly. You know, my wife, I can talk about her, you know. My wife was one of the shyest people you've ever met. You that don't know her wouldn't realize that now, but you know, when I met her, somebody speak to her, she'd kind of hold her head down. She wouldn't look you in the eye. But you know, she was taking a class, a Dale Carnegie class, how to win friends and influence people. And the reason she was taking that is because she wanted to get over that shyness. Well, my company, I was in sales then, my company sent me that class, and they said, we want to promote you to management, and we want you to get this class, and we think it'll help you. Well, it did. Over 50 years it helped me. We've been married over 50 years now, and she just begged and pleaded with me to marry, and I just couldn't resist it, you know. If you believe that, I got some land, some oceanfront land over in Utah, I want to say you too. But you know what I'm saying? Don't sit at home crying your soup. Get out of church, out to church, and get to places where people are, and be with other people, make some friends. And you know, a person says, if you can be a friend, you got to, you find Jesus, he'll stick closer than a brother. He'll be a friend to you. Think about being discouraged. What do you do when trouble comes? I jotted down a little quote years ago in regard to trouble. It said, don't you trouble until trouble troubles you. Don't you look for trouble. Let trouble look for you. So don't go out looking for trouble. The reason some of you get in trouble, you go out looking for it. And some of you young people, you be careful. Don't just have a lot of idle time. You know what you do? You can get in trouble. See, I never had any idle time when I was growing up. My dad was a builder, and he also had a farm. And that included about 24 hours a day, okay? He always had something for you to do. And on Saturday, you know, I wanted to go see the girls, and when I was a teenager, and don't tell me you guys don't want to do that. But you know, I was so tired, I didn't feel like going to see anybody. You know, daddy worked me so hard, I wanted to stay home and rest. But you know, I'm afraid, you know, that so many of us run to trouble instead of running away from trouble. But when trouble does come, what do? The Word of God said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, the reason a lot of people have troubles, first of all, they may not be saved. Now, I'm not saying because you're saved you won't have any trouble. You will. The old devil's going to discourage you. He's going to try to keep you. But I'm talking about a reason a lot of folks have trouble is they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They don't have someone that can meet those needs that they have and encourage them and help them during those times of troubles. And Jesus is that way. He's the only way to heaven. And he tells us that when we accept him as our Savior, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we are a new creature in Christ, and things are different from us. I remember the year I got saved, my school teacher, I reckon she was happy I did get saved, but she said, you're different now. Now, I never shot a teacher or never had a, I never saw anybody in school, but you know something? I was always in a little trouble. I was mischievous, you know. I played tricks on people, and I talked a lot. I don't know where I got that from. I reckon that's the reason the Lord told me to preach. He knew I wanted to run my mouth, so he figured I could run it for him. But you know, some people need to get saved. And then there's some that's been to church. And you know, you've been through maybe a membership class, and you may have been baptized, and you may have taught a Sunday school class, or you may have done some, but you don't have that assurance in your heart that you know if you die, that you know 100% sure that you go to heaven. You know, I read over in 1 John 5:13, these things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God says, I want you to have that know-so salvation. I want you to know that you're saved. I want you to know. And when we have that, that's when our salvation is settled, we can be encouraged. And yes, we're going to have troubles. But what are we to do? Well, Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." And then 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your care on him, for he careth for you." You know, so what are we to do when trouble comes? We're to call upon him, we're to trust him, and we're to cast our all upon him. What we need to realize, God is bigger than our troubles. And some of you are going to face some things this week, and it can devastate you if you're not careful. But you know what we need to do? We just need to call upon him. We need to trust him. Cast our all upon him. Take your burdens to the Lord, the song says, and leave it there. Another thing, what do we do when temptation comes? Yes, when you know, after you get saved, the old devil can't take your salvation from you, but he can sure discourage you and keep you from serving the Lord. And he's going to still tempt you and try to get you to follow him. You know, it seems that when we're down the dumps, everything goes wrong. You ever had times like that? Of course, I do. You can mark it down. If you try to live the Lord, Satan's going to bring temptations to you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to keep you from serving the Lord. And he'll try to get you to bring reproach upon that name, which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what are we to do when tempted? Well, our Lord gave us a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There is no temptation taking you such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer. I lost my place. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear." So when we're tempted, take the way of escape. You know, the old devil tempts you. And I remember reading in the New Testament when the Lord was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He'd not eaten and Satan tempted him. And he says, you bow down and worship me. And the Lord said, "It is written." What did he do? He quoted the word of God, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And you know, that's a reason that when we're tempted, if we've memorized scripture down through these years of our life, we can take and quote scripture. "Get thee hence, Satan. Get away from me. I know who my trust is in. I know who I'm depending on. I know who I'm looking to. I know that I'm going to just trust the Lord, and he's going to see me through that." And then what do we do when we lose our jobs, our homes, our businesses? And that's happened to a lot of people. And you know, we're to trust God. Just get closer to him. Walk with him in a closer way. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass." We're just to take him and commit it to the Lord and trust him, and he can work those things out. Commit the matter and trust him to work it out. You know, I read over Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And you know, when we seek the kingdom of God first and put him first in our lives, then things will work out. God will take care of us. Thinking about being discouraged, what do we do when we're burdened? Going back to God's word, Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He'll suffer the righteous to be moved." You know, what we need to realize is that we can cast our burdens on the Lord. And not only will he carry our burdens, but he'll carry us along with our burdens. Most of you have seen that picture of the footprints in the sand. You see two sets of footprints for a while, and then later on, as you get down the path, you see only one set of footprints. And that's when the Lord takes us up and carries us along with our burdens. And that's what the Lord wants to do today with us. You know, he wants us to cast them on him. He just asked us to put them on his shoulders. God doesn't want to struggle over our burdens and the load there, but he wants us to cast them on him. Romans 15:1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Be an encouragement to those who are burdened down. Be an encouragement. Help them. Lift them up. Thinking about discouragement, then what are we to do when we come down to the end of life? You know, we many times get up in years, and the older we get, and you know, we're not able to work like we used to, and we're not enjoying the things of life because of our health and other things, and it's easy to get down in the dumps. They say, "I just want to die." And my aunt said that not long ago. I was over there one day, and I was trying to encourage, but I tried to be nice. Wayne was just a little more blunt than I am, and all. But what does our Lord say? Luke 21:28, "Look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." You know, it may not be long before we see our Savior. And so let's make good use of our time. You know, a preacher that I seen not long ago said, "Are you still preaching?" And I was filling in the church then at that time. I said, "Yes, I'm still preaching." He said, "Why don't you just quit? You don't have to do that." I said, "No, but I'm enjoying it. I'm out having the time of my life. I get encouraged to go and preach at other churches. And you know, I want to make good use of my time. One day I'm going to stand before the Savior, and so will you if you're saved. And you're going to have to give an account of your life, and I want to hear him say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" So let's just keep on encouraging one another. Let's keep on working together. Let's keep on going far for the cause of Christ. And let's just start. Now, what do we do when discouragement comes our way? Well, pray, first of all. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And then we are to read the Word of God. Get in God's Word daily and let God's Word speak to you. Then get with some joyful, happy Christians. You know, I like to get around people that's happy, don't you? Now, I don't want to go around that's long-faced and have a face looking like a mule. Now, I was raised on a farm. We had mules. And a mule had an old, long face on it. Don't look like a mule eating briars. You know, take and be encouraged and get with joyful people. Sing some joyful songs. Tell somebody else how to get to heaven. That, you know, if you tell somebody else how to get to heaven, that encourages you. That builds you up. And then do something for someone else. You know, years ago, I heard this preacher say it. One Sunday morning, this lady had been in his church for years, and she came forward and says, "Preacher, I need to talk with you." And he said, "Well, come by my office tomorrow morning." So she came by his office, and she said, "Preacher, I'm so discouraged, and I just want to quit. I just want to die." And he said, "Miss Smith, you raise flowers. You have a lot of flowers in your yard, don't you?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you do me a favor? Would you go cut a little flower pot and go see Miss Jones over there? She's sick at home, and I believe it would help her if you go over there. Just take her a little flower pot out of your garden. And when you do that, you come back to me." She said, "Okay." So the next day she came back, and he said, "How'd it go yesterday?" I said, "Man, it went real good." He says, "Well, I want you, Mrs. So-and-so over here said she's been sick, and I know you're a good baker. Why don't you bake some cookies and take over to her?" And she said, "Okay." And he said, "When you get through, come back." So she did. After about 4, 5, 6 days of that, he didn't see her for a while. But he'd see her back in the church. And so one Sunday at church, he stopped her and he says, "Miss Jones," he says, "what about that nervous breakdown you was talking about having? I mean, that you just going to give up?" She said, "I don't have time to do it. I don't have time to do it. I'm so busy now, I don't have time to do it." And you know what we need to do? We need to get busy with the Lord. And, you know, serving him And we can be encouraged in the Lord. And we can encourage one another. And that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be discouraged Christian. He wants to be encouraged Christian. Out serving the Lord. Out working for Him. Laboring Him. I can't do what I used to do. I can't do it. I mean, my daughter came by and mowed my grass the other day. I couldn't even do that. She can come anytime she wants to. My son, too. I'm going to find more things for them to do. We can do something. We all can do something. And we do something for someone else. We'll be encouraged, and we'll encourage someone else. The Lord doesn't want you to be discouraged. He wants you to be encouraged. Let's encourage one another as we serve the Lord together. Let us pray. I know this message has been to Christians, but there might be someone here that does not know Christ as your Savior. There's never been a time, there's never been a place that you realize that you were a sinner. You realize that if you would die, you would not go to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. That's not the Baptist way or Methodist way or Catholic way. Jesus said, I am that way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says all is sin and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short of what we should be. But God wants to forgive your sin and say, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess that sin to Him, ask Him to forgive us, and He'll save us. Just a moment, we're going to stand, and we're going to have an invitation. I'll be down front. If you need to come, if you don't know Christ as Savior, we'll take the Bible, or I'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you know you can go into heaven. Maybe God spoke to you as a Christian. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you need to just maybe come kneel at the altar and do some business with the Lord and ask the Lord to encourage you and help you, or I'll be glad to pray with you. Be glad to help you in the way we can. Our Heavenly Father, you know each heart, you know each life. Lord, you know each need here today. And Lord, there may be some here in a congregation this size that needs to put their faith and trust in you. I pray this will be the day of their salvation. Lord, some need, they're saved, but they haven't made it public and they need to come. They need to present themselves for membership and to serve you, to live for you and here in this place. Oh God, speak to those hearts. Lord, we just pray that somebody maybe just need to rededicate their lives. I just need a new focus on life. I need to just be looking the Lord and serve the Lord in a greater capacity. Lord, I pray they'll come too in Christ's name. Shall we stand with our heads bowed as we start the invitation? If God's speaking to your heart, you need to come. I'll be down front. Be glad to meet with you.